Treasury Secretary Gabrielle McLouth has spoken out recently on the need for workplace diversity, writing in the NBR, saying the business case for it is clear. International research shows companies that have a balanced representation of women and men on their boards perform better. All well and good, and a common refrain these days. But Dr. Eric Crampton, head of research at the New Zealand Initiative and formerly at Canterbury University, has queried what seems to be a no-brainer. He calls it wishful Treasury thinking. He'll join us in a minute. And maybe he'll correct any misapprehensions we've got about his position. As I understand from my hurried reading of it, having women in high positions in companies makes life nicer and maybe makes the companies run more smoothly in a way, but contrary to reports in media, doesn't improve performance in well-governed companies. Did you draw any conclusions from your perusal of what he said?
It was a tricky one, wasn't it? Because if they'd had all men stayed on the boards or whatever, or risen to be partners in these companies, would they have made any more money either? You know, and I think that I don't think they're giving enough weight to a wide variety of advantages that you have, not just with gender, but with race and all sorts of different types of people on the board. You know.
All right, we'll find out from Eric in a tick. But Cass, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's really hard to measure. I was quite interested in this because I've been actually looking at boards lately. I'm on a few boards myself, albeit all unpaid. There's still a real lack of women on boards. And I was kind of interested in the comment that was made about the worrying about over-monitoring. Women on boards were potential of over-monitoring, because I was thinking, well, you know, in that time during the GFC, you know, maybe a bit of more over-monitoring of some of those finance companies could have been a good thing.
That's an interesting point. Let's find out what the over-monitoring means and what Dr. Eric Crampton is talking about. He joins us now. Hello, Eric.
Good afternoon.
Can you summarise your thesis here for we lay people? Because it's certainly got people's attention.
Oh, sure. Well, I'll start by saying that it's not really my thesis. I am drawing on the international literature here. I was curious when the Secretary of the Treasury had put up in the NBR an op-ed piece as response to what seemed a bit of a puff piece about the value of leadership, like lessons on leadership from the All Blacks. It didn't really seem the kind of thing that I would have expected the Secretary of the Treasury to spend time responding to, but he did make a strong empirical claim there, and he said that the piece was wrong because the international literature showed that there were strong benefits to firms that had more diverse boards. And I'm somewhat familiar with that literature, and that wasn't the conclusion that I'd drawn from it, so I asked Treasury what literature he was referring to. They pointed me to a Deloitte Australia piece from a couple of years back, which cited three articles. One of them was a one-page infographic. The second one was a four-page article whose method was utterly insufficient to establish the claim that was made. And the third one was a McKinsey piece that was also not particularly robust. And the problem with that is that there is a strong academic literature on this. Like, it's not as extensive as in some other fields, but serious work on this that looks across a whole big pile of firms and takes into account a whole pile of very important differences across different types of firms, the industries that they work in, the kinds of risks they take, all of those sorts of things, and they try and correct for them, as well as trying to correct for that different kinds of firms might make different kinds of efforts to have a more inclusive board. It's a tricky problem. It's the kind of thing you can't solve in a one-page infographic. Instead, it takes a 20 or a 40-page academic journal article. And
yes,
those ones were a lot more equivocal. So at best, you're seeing really no effect on performance of pursuing greater gender or ethnic diversity on firm boards. And in some cases, you're seeing reduced performance. So the best paper in the topic seemed to be the one that I was citing then in the NBR by Adams and Ferreria, where they were showing that on average there was a negative effect, but that was driven by a few firms with fewer takeover defenses. Few firms were having some potential improvements, but on average there wasn't that much, and other studies are finding no effects.
Can I ask you a few things? I mean, the non-improvement in performance, if you say it's there, is that because people start fussing over aspects of governance that distract the internal workings of a firm? Is it that women are less ruthless? Do the companies then seem somehow weaker? What's going on?
Well, I certainly couldn't speak to that because these kinds of studies aren't able to look at exactly what's going on in each and every one of these boardrooms. What they do instead is they've got all of the data that comes out of the S&P 500 and all of the data about all of the firms that are in there. We don't have access into the corporate boardrooms for the most part for this kind of work. You've got instead a great big spreadsheet that has a lot of really relevant stuff about all the different firms, but it doesn't tell you exactly what they might be messing up. The one piece that I did cite Adams and Ferreira was finding that chief executives would be a little bit more likely to be turfed if the stock performance were down a bit, and that kind of over-monitoring might have been expensive for those firms where they were seeing negative performance.
When you say over-monitoring, can you just clear that up?
It means that the usual critique that people will make about stock markets and firm performance is that firms can be a little bit too short-sighted and watching too closely the current returns rather than longer-term measures. So if a firm is too sensitive to short-term changes in prices, it can overreact.
But what difference would women make there, for example?
I honestly have no clue. This is the established finding in that paper on average across a whole pile of different types of firms correcting for everything that they can find out about them. I would be only speculating and probably speculating wrongly if I were trying to guess the mechanics underlying it.
All right, but most people agree with the New Zealand Law Society. They probably have almost full agreement, I imagine. There is mounting evidence that companies with a gender balance, particularly in governance and leadership roles, perform better both organisationally and financially. Yeah. And a lot of people agree with that.
Except it's a shame that the law, it doesn't feed into law.
Right, it doesn't
feed
into law.
It's very rare, you know, for the top law firms in the country.
Oh, but a lot of them practice gender diversity now.
Less than 25% of partners are women.
Okay, but I just want to ask.
The good take that you can take from this is that a lot of the studies were finding there was no effect of increased gender diversity on boards. So in some cases, it won't cost you anything if you're trying to have a more diverse board, but there is some potential risk if you. Imagine that you're trying to pursue a quota for the sake of a quota, and you've got more candidates that are of suitable caliber in one pool than in another. If you start pushing too hard, you can reduce the overall quality of the board. That's not to say that there aren't massive numbers of very qualified women out there. It's just if you start pushing too hard to achieve a quota rather than picking the best candidate for the job, and there isn't some other mechanism that's letting you get good performance out of it, which these studies are kind of casting a bit of doubt on, then just be careful.
All right. And this is like the argument that says, you know, you shouldn't have half the women and half women in cabinet for this, because we had that conversation a few weeks ago, for the same reason. But so what should our overall strategy be, Eric? Should we still try for that kind of gender diversity, which everyone is embracing, or not?
I think some of that is coming as more and more women are advancing to more senior positions. It's getting less hard to find women who are able to get into the board positions than it would have been 20 or 30 years ago. So some of that will advance naturally as society's progressed and labor force participation rates have largely equalized. In terms of government policy, if that were a goal that you wished to achieve, you could do things like having more gender equity in how we handle parental leave, that if men were taking more time off during after childbearing, then women might be a bit less of a disadvantage because of that.
All right, so you're saying make fundamental changes rather than nominal ones.
If that were something that you wished to pursue.
Right.
I'm not saying that we should be doing that. I'm saying if this were your goal, then those would be the kinds of places that I would be looking.
Thank you. That's Dr. Eric Crampton on the panel.